You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. We are having a good time today. I am here with my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me, babe.
And our good friend, John Mueller from Diversified Realty. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Doug.
Great stuff, man. We've been talking about partnership opportunities in the last segment. And I want to talk about partnerships in general because you've been in many of them. I've been in quite a few of them. Tammy, you've been in them before.
Right.
We've seen good ones. We've seen bad ones. And let's break down the successes and failures and how do you choose the corporate structure and all of those things. So, John, let's jump into this. What because when we look at the different types of companies, okay, people often, because people will call me and they'll, when I have to ask them for their financial documents, they'll say, well, I'm an LLC. And I'll have to say, well, specifically what type of company is it though? Because an LLC can be a sole proprietor, an LLC can be an S corp, an LLC can be a partnership, and then there's a corporation or C corp that's separate. So we'll use the term LLC to cover the sole proprietor, partnership, or S corp. Most of yours are set up as LLCs, right, John?
Right, you got it.
And why do you choose an LLC?
Number of reasons. A lot of times it's a lot simpler to form, less expensive to form, and more conducive to real estate partnership structures because, you know, as you know, Doug, a lot of different real estate deals are structured differently depending on the situation and depending on the needs of the partners who are involved.
Yeah, there's just more flexibility in LLCs.
Yeah, and it lets you set up a different LLC for each property
right.
if you need to, and that way there's protection between the properties
right.
and because you may have different partners with each property.
Right.
So that definitely allows you a flexible structure for that.
Right.
And then to make the choice of, is it going to be an S corp, is it a sole proprietor, is it a partnership? Those are pretty important questions because if you're a single individual, you frequently would just form, you would just be a sole proprietor. And as a sole proprietor, you don't even have to file a separate tax return. You can just file a Schedule C on your personal return.
Right.
That's its own profit and loss statement. If there's more than one person, now you have to decide, do you want to be a partnership or an S corp? And yours are typically partnerships, right, John?
Correct, LLC partnerships.
Right. So as an LLC partnership, one of the advantages I see of that is that as an S corp, the IRS really likes it or they really hate it if you do not W-2 yourself. You know, they want you to W-2 yourself for a certain amount. And as a partnership, you typically don't have to do that.
Right.
So that's a, in the partnerships you're setting up where it's about long-term investment. There is no money being paid out to partners,
right.
Then you wouldn't want a W-2 being paid out.
Right.
Now, in an LLC, John, can they give that as a gift to a child or anything like that?
Right. LLCs will give you the ability to gift portions of the LLC over time to family members.
Tax-free.
Tax-free.
Let me say that again, tax-free.
Yeah, tax-free. That's a beautiful
awesome.
Thing. Well, and the advantage about why people don't want to have an actual corporation instead of an LLC, there's a double taxation. Explain how the double taxation works.
So the way that works, Doug, is with a typical corporation, the corporate entity is taxed in and of itself. Separate of the dividends that are paid out of the corporation. So you pay it at two different levels, the corporate level and the dividend or distribution level.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So as a corporation, all the money that passes on to you has to pass on as a W-2. So the corporation's
right.
already paid tax
paid the
on
taxes
it,
in.
And now you
taxes.
Get a W-2, you get to pay taxes
Yay.
On personally.
Right.
Yeah, not a good scenario, although it still ends up being a better scenario once you reach certain revenue levels for companies.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are a lot of partners, that's when you typically have to move to a corporation.
Right.
But back to the LLCs, how does that pass through to the individual? Because a lot of people listening may know this, but some of them may not,
right.
At how that money gets passed through. Do they file their own tax returns?
Right. So in an LLC, it's a little bit different from a corporation. It appears it's a flow through entity. So it flows right through to the partnership member's tax return, their personal tax return.
Right. So each, if it's a partnership, they file a 1065 tax return, and then the income to the individual partners is on a K-1.
Right.
And the K-1 will tell the percent of the individual ownership, and that's one of the easiest places to see it, and then that will flow through mm-hmm. to your personal taxes. And the company doesn't end up paying any tax.
Right.
You have to pay it personally. Then if it's an S-corp, which some people will choose to do, then that's going to file an 1120S. And that also flows through as a K-1. It still is a little bit different in that because you may have a K-1, but you might also have a W-2 for whatever portion, because the IRS loses out on all the payroll tax if you're not paying yourself as a W-2 and sending anything through payroll. That's
right.
Definitely the benefit of the partnership.
So we all have the partnership thing in common. What are some of the things you guys have learned over the years that works and doesn't work?
Well,
John,
I'll go first. Well, when I started the different investment companies on buying and holding mm-hmm. real estate long term, one of the first partnerships I was a part of was a 4-member partnership. It was myself and an attorney and a financial planner,
mm-hmm.
and the 4th member was the equity investor.
Mm-hmm.
I think in retrospect, it was good that was my first partnership, and to date, it's working very well. Mm-hmm. Everything's going fine, but it's a little bit too dense as far as too many partners in one ownership structure.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess the takeaway from that is to really identify the roles and what each other expect of that role in a partnership. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and having an operating agreement is really important. In fact, in mm-hmm. Missouri, it's illegal to have an LLC without an operating agreement. You lose the protection of a limited liability company. Mm-hmm. You no longer limit the liability, which is a little bit of an oxymoron.
That is true. I didn't really think about it that way.
Well, and I've seen partnerships go bad, and the solidity of the operating agreement, because a lot of times an attorney will draw up an operating agreement and sometimes it's a boilerplate document that people don't even really read and understand.
Yeah.
And with any type of partnership, it's pretty important that you understand that, because that is the divorce plan up front.
Right. I mean,
it has your exit strategy built into it.
That was one of my questions to you guys about your exit strategies when you go into partnerships. You know, I would say that's pretty important to clean up and get really clear.
Right, because what if one of the partners dies?
Mm-hmm.
John, you probably have that approach in your partnership agreements.
Absolutely. I think the exit strategy is probably one of the most important parts of the mm-hmm. operating agreement. And there are a number of ways to protect each of the partners throughout the course of the business relationship. We were using the example earlier, Doug, if I'm in business with you, and you're married to Tammy, if you die or something happens to you, God forbid, I signed up to be in business with you because of our relationship and not necessarily Tammy, although
right.
we all love Tammy.
Right. Just an example.
Just an example. So that in that situation, Tammy would retain your ownership percentage and your ownership interest in the company.
That's
but not
assuming that I willed it to her.
If I
willed her my percentage, yes.
That is an assumption. Thank you, John.
Just kidding, Tammy. Of course you would get my half, baby.
Gosh. Nice. So the scene is that you pass away.
Right. If I pass away now, and I've willed you my percentage
of
ownership.
My percentage. She's getting John all flustered over here.
You now own my portion.
But I don't have a say.
Right.
Right.
No voting rights.
No voting rights.
Well, and isn't it common also that if you have some passive investors,
mm-hmm.
that they're not always going to have voting rights either. The managing member needs to make the decisions because they typically are the ones with the experience.
Absolutely.
Right.
And people that don't understand that, here's the equivalent that I would give it would be if you own stock in a company, okay, you own stock in Microsoft, are you going to be, sitting in on their board meetings, telling them what to do? The answer is probably not.
No.
You're a passive investor.
Right.
And somebody who just puts money into a partnership mm-hmm. and is a passive investor, there's typically a managing member that's managing all the affairs, and the operating agreement will usually give them a little more liberty on how those things play out.
Right, right. I've witnessed a situation where somebody didn't have in their partnership set up when they became, there was only two. And I think, John, you had said you wouldn't recommend having just two people on a partnership, which sounds kind of funny. But
well, no, John, I think John said two people's fine, but having 50-50
ownership. Oh, yeah, one. That's tough. Right, John. I'm sorry. That is true. You said to have a majority ownership. But I've seen in the situation where they went in with good intentions, 50-50. Sounds nice and sweet. But when it came to a decision, they had no one to help settle their dispute.
The voting deadlock.
Right. Yeah.
How do you resolve that, John?
Well, you just don't do 50-50 partnerships. Well, I think it's a tough situation. Mm-hmm. I've never been in that situation before, but I know some people who have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a process of going through the process and trying to meet in the middle and resolve it amicably.
And sometimes it doesn't end that well.
Right. I think my experience has been it's always best to have someone in a controlling interest position, whether it's 51%, 49%, or whatever the situation may be.
I agree with that.
Right. I mean, I've definitely seen lots of times where I've been in partnerships that were equal partnerships, and frequently it takes too long to make a decision when you have to get two people. Sometimes it's not always just a difference in opinion. Sometimes it's just even having the time to sit down and discuss things. Mm-hmm. Where times I've been in charge of something by myself, I can just make a decision and move forward.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, well said. I guess at the same time, just to spin that off in the opposite direction, if someone is an equity investor in one of the properties I buy, even though they're not going to be involved in the day-to-day decisions and management, they would still be included in the major decision-making.
Sure.
For example, if you're going to sell the property, you know, if you want to do a 1031 exchange and do a bigger property, whatever the situation may be.
Right. Yeah, so those are all things that are really important. If you're thinking about going into a partnership, make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a certain anonymity that's also offered when you deal with an LLC that I like, John, and it's not always public record who the owners are.
Right.
If you look on the Secretary of State's website, you can see who the registered agent is, but you can't necessarily see who the owners are.
Right. Well said.
And with the corporation, you will see all the officers that were the organizers of the company.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, John, definitely appreciate you coming in. If you want to learn more about this, we're going to have a blog post on this topic, and I'll actually have a document that I'm going to have you upload, Tammy, about all the different corporate structures. That's a one-page document that can educate you if you want to learn more about the corporate structures, the difference between an LLC and a corporation, sole proprietors, partnerships, all those, what types of tax returns do they file, how does it flow through to you personally, all summarized on one page. So visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and look for the blog post on partnerships, and we'll have that posted within a few hours here. So coming up, we are going to be talking about home scouting, the number one app for searching for homes. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.